God is great. God is good. God is wonderful. God is awesome. God is worthy of our praise. I've already read my scripture. I just light into preaching. From the life of this lady by the name of Hannah, I want to tell our mamas today this subject. Mama, God will hear your prayer. I just got blessed with the title, Mama, God will hear your prayer. I was going through some of the legacy my dad had left behind, and I was going through one of his little sermon booklets that I have 30 of those, which represents about 50 years of preaching. And I was looking through one of them, and I saw this little thought, and I remembered him preaching this when I was a little boy. It was called In Times Like These. He was taking his text from 2 Timothy 3, where it talked about the perilous, dangerous, unprecedented evil that we'll face in the last day. And he's talking about in times like these what we need in our lives and we need in our nation. And he wrote down the following statements. He said, well, in times like these, we need fathers like Abraham. In times like these, we need national leaders like Moses. He said, in times like these, we need preachers like John the Baptist. He said, in times like these, we need prayer warriors like Daniel. He said, in times like these, we need dedicated youth and young people like Joseph. And then he said, in times like these, we need mothers like Hannah. And I believe today that the greatest calling outside of a call to preach the gospel is the call of motherhood. Do you realize leaders today were rocked in the cradle by the hand of a mother? I read years ago that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And you think about great leaders of the past, great leaders of the present, if we could find one. They once were a baby and their mother rocked them in their arms. Every time I hear an old-fashioned preacher stand and proclaim the word of God, I'm reminded that one day he was a little baby on the knee of his mother. As I look over this congregation today, the last Sunday, my son gave me the report of how many children was in Navigators. And out of those 40-plus kids last week, one day, one of them will be a leader of the next generation. It's hard to believe that one day, one of these little boys around here will probably walk into this pulpit and say, I'm the pastor. Of course, I'll be 250 years old by the time I resign, but one day, these little boys and girls will rule the world. And let me say to you moms, don't ever take a back seat to your calling. Don't ever let the world intimidate you about motherhood. Hollywood in this world tries to lampoon the family, lampoon the home, and lampoon motherhood. It seemed like every time they come out with something, it's something to termite away the foundation of the family. And I really believe the reason why America is crumbling is because of the family units that have crumbled. And I try to remind myself constantly and remind my comrades in the ministry that God instituted the family before he did the church. And the church is very, very important. It's the pillar of the ground of truth. But it is a place where we come with our families together to worship the Lord and thank God for mothers. If you're here today and you are a mother and you have been tasked and called of God to train up a child in the way that it should go, I'm on your side. God is on your side. And the Bible is your guide. And the Holy Spirit is your partner and empowerment. And you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. And here in our text this morning is a picture of a little mother by the name of Hannah, whose name means graced or favored. And she has a broken heart, and she goes to a God that heals the broken heart. And God answered her prayer. God gave her a future leader of Israel by the name of Samuel. And any time a word begins or ends with E-L, it is always a prefix or a suffix for Yahweh, the Jehovah, the living, the true God. And so his name is Samuel, which means God hath heard my prayer. A lot of you are like me. I don't have a Samuel in my family, but I got a lot of answered prayers in my family. If you're here this morning, you've been saved in the length of time at all, you can point to something and say, that's my Samuel. That's my answer to prayer. That is God's evidence that he answers prayer in all of our lives. Look back over your life today. You'll see the DNA of God's answered prayers in your life and in your family. I'm glad to tell you today, the old songwriter said that God answers prayer in the morning, and God answers prayer at noon, and God answers prayer in the evening to keep our hearts in tune. Can I remind all of us today that Jeremiah 33:3 is still in the Bible? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I'm not just preaching today to the mothers. I'm preaching to the fathers and the mothers and moms and dads and husband and wives and children and young people and young adults. I want to remind you that God will hear and answer your prayer. Three things about Hannah we're going to see this morning. We're going to see her burden. And then we're going to see her baby. And then we're going to see her blessing. Number one, her burden. Here is a little woman with a burden. I won't take time to read all of these verses, but when you go home today, read verse 5 down through verse number 12. There are several statements mentioned, Brother Tom, to me that show just what a burden that she had. There was an emptiness in her life. There was something in her life that was missing, and she needed God to fulfill that need. That need for her was a child. But there may be somebody here this morning, and there is an emptiness in your life. There is a need in your life. There is something you need for God to do in your life. And I'm glad today that it is no secret what God can do for what he did for Hannah. He can do for you. I'm glad our full Christ is the need to empty sinners. Lord, I got to say that again. I'm glad our full Christ is enough for empty lives. I enjoyed that so much. I think I'll quote Spurgeon again. Our full Christ is enough to meet the needs of empty sinners. The Bible says that she had an adversary. She had an enemy. She had someone that was, the scripture said, provoking her to make her fret. Man, when I read that phrase of the King James, I thought, my name is not Hannah, but I too have an adversary. And he is working overtime to provoke me and to make me fret, because she was childless, because she did not have a child. There was somebody in her life called an adversary that would agitate her about that and provoke her about that, to make her fret about that. In my imagination, I can imagine the adversary being Satan, saying something like this to her to make her fret. Why, God doesn't love you. Why, if God loved you, you wouldn't be going through this time of trouble in your life. Why, God doesn't care about you. If God cared about you, he wouldn't allow you to go through this place of affliction in your life. Why, God can never meet your need. God can never answer your prayer. God won't ever put your broken pieces back together again. And you say, Brother Joe, you're talking like you've had experience. Well, if you've lived on God's green earth long, you have had the experience of our adversary, the devil, that walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, to provoke the child of God, to fret the child of God, to speak lies into your heart, and to speak lies into mine. May I say to you this morning, if you've ever heard that demonic evil voice, that God doesn't care about you, that's the voice of the liar. If you have heard that dark, diabolical voice that God doesn't care about you, it is the voice of the liar. If you have ever heard that voice that God doesn't answer prayer and God's not able to meet your need and you're not fit enough and you're not good enough for God to bless you, let me remind you, that is the voice of the deceiver. That is the voice of the liar. Oh, the true voice says, call unto me. The true voice says, come boldly to the throne of grace. The true voice said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And may I quote from Jesus, let God be true and every man and the devil be a liar. Because no matter what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, what it tastes like, God still cares and God is still upon his throne. She looked at that priest by the name of Eli, and he said, it looks like you're drunk. She was praying so hard at the altar, they said, you look like you're drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk. I've not tasted any wine. I've not tasted any strong drink. She said, I have a sorrowful spirit. I'm crying out to God in the bitterness of soul. And whether you are a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, one day you will have bitterness of soul. Your spirit will be crushed. Your mind will be bewildered. And you're not going to know how to act, where to turn, or what to say, or what to do. But can I give you the advice from Hannah? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, aren't you glad to... When you don't know what to do, you can always call on God. When you don't know where to turn, you can always turn to God. I overheard a conversation a while back. Someone said, and they didn't think I was listening, but watch what you say, because at such an hour as you think not, Brother Joe's ears will perk up. And I don't have as much hair between them, and I can hear better. I heard this conversation. I don't understand some people that go to the altar all the time. Let me just settle this right now. I am not worried about people who go to the altar all the time. I'm worried about people who hasn't gone to the altar since Moby Dick was a minnow. You say, but I don't understand why they go all the time. I can settle it now. Anybody here ever ate at Cracker Barrel more than once? Anybody here ever been to McDonald's and you live to tell about it? More than once. I got you this. Anybody here, have you ever ate a Krispy Kreme donut? More than once. You've got to lift your hands, because if you've ever eaten one, you know you've eaten another. I like to go stand there at the window and just lick the glass. Before Corona. I love to see that work of art as it makes its way down the conveyor belt. As it basks under the anointing of the sweet, whatever that is, it's got to be manna from heaven. And that little girl puts that little stick in there, and it just, you can tell that when you look at it, it's a work of art. And as you behold the work of art, you start slobbering on both sides of your mouth. Then you take that first bite and it's a half moon. And by the time you take a second bite, it's a total eclipse. And before you got to the car, you've ate a dozen and your wife's complaining that you ate all the donuts. Now when you pulled up and said, would you like a donut? She said no. But when you got yours, she wants all of them. Can I get a witness? Oh, you know why you go back to Cracker Barrel? You know why you go back to K&W? You know why you go back to... And most of us don't get to go to the kitchen that much. You old timers that married them wonderful cooks. I married Betty Crocker and Hamburger Helper. Say amen right there. Oh, but you know why you go back to those places over and over again? Because it met a need. It fulfilled a void. And the reason why we go to church and the reason why we go to the altar, God's met our need there. And God's lifted our burdens there. And God has enlightened our minds there. And we've heard from God there before. And I promise you, brother, when you're sorrowful, when you're bitter, and the adversary is provoking you and causing you to fret, You don't have to go to the bar. You don't have to go to the bottle. You don't have to go to the world. You don't have to go to the cesspools of sin. I'm glad there's a place we can go at the feet of Jesus and weep before Him and pour out our heart before Him. The songwriter says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And that's what she did. She poured out her complaint and she took her burden to the Lord and she left it there. And God came out of heaven and met her need, her burden. God answered her prayer with a little baby. And she named him Samuel, which means heard of God. God has heard my prayer. I don't have a child named Samuel. In fact, I only have one male species in my family that helps me fight back the rest of them. I have a son. Then I have a wife and a daughter and a mother-in-law and a sister-in-law and three nosy, crazy, leftover LSD-60 sisters. And I have four granddaughters. Dave, you got to come to our rescue. Our life is ruled by women. Can I get an amen right there? I don't have a little boy named Samuel. And I don't have a girl named Samuelette. But I am here to just hang on. That name's a coming. But just listen to me this morning. I may not have a baby named Samuel. I may not have a child named Samuel. But I promise you in my life, I've got a lot of little babies. A lot of blessings that God has birthed into my life. A lot of treasures that God has birthed in my life. Oh God, I feel like preaching. A lot of privileges and blessings that God has birthed in my life. And I look back and say, He heard my prayer. He heard my prayer. He heard my prayer. Can I remind you this morning, there is a God in heaven, and His hand is not short, and His ear is not heavy, and His heart is not cold, and He can birth blessings into your life. He can birth treasures into your life. God can answer prayers in your life. Every one of us today ought to be able to stand up and say, there's my treasure, there's my privilege, there's the blessings that God has answered prayer. Brother, God is not dead. God is not non-existent. He is alive. His ear is open. And God can birth answered prayer into your life. Well, I love the way she worded her prayer. The Bible said she poured out. And I want you to just get in your mind today a picture of water. I wanted to, you know, I like to use illustrations, but Mrs. Arthur wouldn't allow me to do that on our new furniture. But just picture a pitcher of water, and you start pouring, and you start pouring. It overfills the cup. It runs down the table. It gets on the tablecloth. It drips off on the floor, and you keep the vessel turned up to the very last drop leaves the vessel. There's nothing left in that vessel to extract because it's all been poured out. Oh, do you remember when your mind was vexed and your heart was troubled and the adversary was provoking you and you were fretting over the troubles and the cares of this life, and you didn't drop down on one little knee and make some little quick prayer, now to lay me down to sleep, pray my Lord my soul to keep. No, brother, you were hungry, you were thirsty, you were desperate, and you called upon God, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you cried, and you wept, and you prayed and you cried until the last drop was left, and there were no more words to say. There were no more tears to drip. But aren't you glad when you run out of tears and you run out of words, the sovereign God of heaven knows the throb of your heart and He knows the intents of your heart. And she prayed and wept and prayed and she poured it out, and God heard her prayer. And I love the way she worded it to God. She said, Lord, if you'll answer this prayer, I'm going to make you a vow. If you give me this little boy I'm asking for, Man, my mind is so flooded with a personal illustration that if I give, we'll be here past dinner time. And I know it's Mother's Day. But she said, Lord, if you will answer this prayer and give me this little boy, I'll go back up there to the house of the Lord and I'll lend him to you. I'll let you use him for your service as long as he lives. Let me equate that. Some of us have prayed, I think, similar prayers. Oh, God, I need you right now. And Lord, if you'll bless me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Anybody prayed a prayer like that? Oh, God, I've got a need. And if you'll meet this need, I'll give you praise and I'll give you glory. Oh, God, if you'll meet this need and still the storm and stop this tempter. And God, if you'll exalt this valley and lower this sky and lift this burden and win this battle and carry this cross. Lord, I'll give you praise. I'll go to church. I'll read my Bible. I'll pray. I'll do what's right. Oh, I want to tell you something. She made that vow to God. But can I remind you, she kept that vow to God. That little boy was born and she weaned him. And one day she took him up to the house of God, Lord of mercy, and laid him on that altar and said to that preacher, said, God was so good in giving me this boy. God was so good and answer my prayer. I'm going to keep my part of the vow. I'm going to keep my part of the bargain. I promise God, if he'd hear my prayer, I'd do my part and I'm coming to pay my vow. You know why I'm at church today? I'm paying vows. You know why I got a shout on my soul today? I'm a paying my vows. And the Lord willing, if he lets me wake up in the morning, I'll serve God again tomorrow because I'm paying my vows. Because I remember when I was a sinner on my way to hell, I said, oh God, if you'll save me and keep me from hell, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And by God's amazing grace, I want to keep my vow. Let me just say this. God's been good to us. And God's been faithful to us. And he's worthy of our praise. And he's worthy of our service. And he's worthy of our glory. A vow was made and a vow was kept. A promise was fulfilled and a promise was made. May we serve God today and be faithful to God today and give him glory today, because he's the reason we've got everything we have today. Her burden, her baby. And then I want you to see her blessing. I read the text in chapter number 2. Perry, you still got that baby? Won't you bring that baby down here? And I'm going to let you hold it. Because I can't hold a mic and a baby and run at the same time. And I don't think Hannah looked like that. But right now, here's a bald-headed, bearded Hannah. Come on down here, sweetheart. All of a sudden, the door opens one day at that tabernacle in Shiloh. Who's that? That's Hannah. Who? Hannah. Sir, the one that got in that altar and said, I ain't a getting up till I get a word from God. The one that prayed in that altar and said, God, I'm not going to quit praying till you settle it in my soul. And God settled in her soul. And she went on by faith and worshiped the Lord. Now she's down here back at Shiloh at the tabernacle. Glory to God. She goes back to that altar. Amen. And said, Lord, I'm dedicating him to you. Lord, use him for the rest of his life. I believe the sweet touch of the Holy Spirit came upon that little child. And that little child grew up. Oh, and became a mighty man of God. He became a leader. He became a spiritual hero. And that little baby lived in the presence of that man of God. And one day when the little toddler began to be able to just walk and talk a little bit, whoop, he's laying in bed one night. And he heard a voice, Samuel. And he ran in there and said to the man of God, Eli, did you call me? He said, honey, I ain't called you. He went back to bed again and he laid down to sleep. And another voice said, Samuel. And he gets up there and he runs to Eli and said, somebody's calling my name. He said, son, I'm telling you, it ain't me. He said, if you ever hear that voice again, say these words, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, here am I. And little Samuel goes back to bed, and sure enough, he hears that voice again, Samuel. And he says from that baby, Lord, here am I. And a dose of the Holy Ghost, thank you, brother, came. Let's give our baby a hand, and Hannah and the baby. And came upon that child, and he grew up to be a mighty, mighty, mighty man of God. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying when God meets your needs and God answers prayer, he has a purpose in mind that those needs that are met and those prayers that are answered be an instrument to magnify the sovereign God of heaven who does what man cannot do. Can I say this in closing this morning? Every blessing God has given you, every treasure that God has birthed into your life, wasn't to make you healthy, rich, or happy, but it was to give you an instrument to use to magnify the name that is above every name. When I was growing up, I used to love to hear the Inspirations and the Cathedrals, and I had another favorite group from Asheville, North Carolina, called the Kingsmen. Eldred Fox owned the group, but a big, tall guy named Big Jim Hamill was their lead singer and their MC. In fact, we had Jim in our church to sing just about 3 or 4 months before the Lord called him home. They was in one of the gospel singing cruises that we do many years before I discovered America. And Brother Mays was the preacher of that day, and he gave this illustration, and Jim Hamill gave it. And I heard Jim give what Mays gave, and I've never forgot it. He said, in the middle of World War II, our troops had taken an island in the Pacific. They wanted to hoist the flag, the American flag, to announce that we had taken that ground that needed to be taken. But said about 4 or 5 young men had attempted to raise that flag and hoist that flag. And somewhere out in the distance was a sniper that was sniping off our boys as they were trying to hoist that flag. And finally the sergeant got with his boys in a foxhole and said, I'm not sending anybody out, but I'm asking for a volunteer. Well, and a young private from the hills of Arkansas. Let me just say this. If you're from the hills of Georgia, the hills of Tennessee, the hills of Kentucky, the hills from Virginia, the hills of North Carolina, don't let nobody call you country until they meet somebody from the hills of Arkansas. And a young man from the hills of Arkansas said, Sarge, I'll volunteer. Hoist the flag. But he said, I want you to calculate something for me. I've got to wait until it's 4:30 in the afternoon in the hills of Arkansas. So whatever time it is here, I'll go if it corresponds with 4:30 in the afternoon in the hills of Arkansas. Well, when the time there matched the 4:30 in the hills of Arkansas, the young soldier grabbed Old Glory, ran out of that foxhole, ran through the bullets, hoisted the flag, came down and said, finish the task. And that sergeant said, you will get a medal for your bravery. But I've got to ask, why was it so important that you do this when it matches the time of 4:30 in the hills of Arkansas? And that little old mountain boy said, sir, my mom and daddy took me down to Little Rock to catch the bus to go to basic training. My little mama kissed me on my jaw and said, honey, you remember this. At 4:30 Every day I'll be in my secret place, pleading the blood, the power of the Holy Ghost upon you. And if any bullet gets to my baby, it's got to go through mama's prayers. Oh, I want to tell you, I'm glad when mama prayed, heaven pays attention. Every Sunday at 9:30, my phone will ring, and it'll be my little mama. And the first thing she says, "How's Julie and the babies?" I said, "Won't you ask about me?" And it won't be long till she'll light into praying. Well, it's Mother's Day. You can't let your mother call you on Mother's Day. If you have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you got to beat your mother to the telephone. So I called her early this morning, and I woke her up, and this is how. She didn't have her teeth in. I could tell. I said, "Mama, let's FaceTime." She said, "No, no, 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 later, 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 later." And I said, "Mama, happy Mother's Day. How's Julie and the babies?" All them flowers and all that crying about Mama's Day. Come Father's Day, they won't even shed a tear. You know how it is. How many abused and neglected men we have for today? Raise your hand in Jesus' name. God bless all of you for lying. And I said, "Mama, happy Mother's Day." She said, "Thank you, baby." I may have woke her up. And she may not have her teeth in yet. But as soon as I said, "Happy Mother's Day," she said, "Thank you, baby." She let in. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray you'll bless my little baby today as he stands and opens your word. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. May he preach in the fire of God. Save precious souls. Whoop and encourage your saints. In Jesus' name, amen. I know one Sunday morning on my way to church, that phone's not going to ring down here, and I'm not going to hear that voice of my sweet mother, and I'll be singing and that old gospel song, "How sweet and happy seems in days of which I dream, when I recall my memories now and then, and with what rapture sweet my weary heart would beat if I could hear my mother pray again." But I want to say, she may not be praying on this side, but she'll be in heaven right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you and praying for me. I'll encourage you today, Daddy. Keep on praying. God answers prayer. I'll encourage you, Mama. Keep on praying. God answers prayer. He defeats the enemy. He rolls back the clouds. He separates the waters of despair. He lifts burdens. He exalts the valley. He lowers the sky. God will not fail any generation of his children. Mama, God will answer your prayer. More than mama, look at who you are today. Where are you from? If you have a need, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Somebody asked my daughter the other day at the courthouse after the day was over, said, "Would you like to go get a drink?" And she knew what that meant. It didn't mean Dr. Pepper or Coca-Cola. It meant an alcoholic beverage at a bar across the street. She said, "No, I don't think I want to do that." They were just astounded that she didn't drink alcoholic beverages. It blew their mind that she didn't do that. And they asked her, they said, "Well, girl, how do you cope with all this junk and stress we deal with every day of our life?" She said, "Well, I read my Bible. I pray. I go to church." So she thought she'd ask them a question. Why do you go over there and drink when you've had a stressful day? Why do you go do that? And here's the answer. "It's all I've ever done. That's all I know to do." And you know what people usually do? What they've always done, and the only thing they know to do. But I'm so glad you rolled in here this morning, because I'm telling you, there is another place to go. And there is another fountain to drink from. It's called the house of the Lord, the altar of God. And Jesus is his name. He still answers prayer, and he still meets the needs of hurting hearts. Call on him today. Because it is no secret what God can do. Because she's not the first person God ever favored. And Samuel's not the first prayer that God's ever answered. Let's stand together, our Heavenly Father. We love you today. Lord, as we gather in this place, we are so reminded that we're unworthy.